You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to End the Conversation with Damian Lemon, Ali Muhammad, and Vladimir Camaño, El Capitán, El Jefe. Guess what, y'all? There's a blizzard in NYC, so we actually going to give you a throwback episode right from the archives that has not been released before. This is uncut, unreleased. We're bringing it to you. You know why? Because the conversation does not stop. We don't care. Rain, sleet, snow. It's like the post office up in here. We will bring you the conversation. Enjoy it, y'all. Peace.
For the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy Dominican, you know, Vladimir Camaño, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah.
What's
cracking? Yo, what's up, man? Happy to have D Lemon.
Yeah, I'm back. I hear y'all talking shit.
Yeah, that's what we talked about last week.
What's cracking with you? Yo, so we back in the conversation.
Yeah, we back in it, man. The trio is back.
You heard your man right there. Introduce yourself to the people.
This is your man, Vladimir Camaño, South Bronx, Bronx man coming through you live and uncut. Happy to be here again once again.
Hey, yeah, this is Mr. Muhammad in the building. Ali Muhammad, Brooklyn in the house, Dade County 305.
The guru.
Since we shouting it all out.
The guru. That's the guru. Ali's the guru.
The guru. I'm young Damian Lemon, man. That's I'm just right. Happy to be here amongst you, you brothers.
You look well.
Hey,
you look
brother. Young. How was the trip?
Yeah, I feel good. You look well. Everybody look good.
You look well.
Got a nice little bucket cap. We started off with Sagittarius.
You look well.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm
you
all
look
right.
Well, man. You look young.
I've been having a good little time. I was on the West Coast, man. It was very restorative.
Yeah, you got that good
bring
weather.
Bring us up to speed.
Yeah.
Bring us up to speed. I went to the West Coast. That was the last time we spoke. Was it two Tuesdays ago? I went out to the West Coast. I did Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco with Chris DiStefano. Shout out to Chris. Shout out to everybody in San Francisco. That shit was crazy.
Dope.
That's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful city. Like,
hey, did you turn gay while you were out there?
Nah, but I can see why cats is gay out there. Because me and Chris must have took about 40 pictures of each other just in front of everything. Like, yo, this is dope. This is good to see.
Real festive.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, man, listen, there is no bad vantage point in San Francisco. What happened? I was too low into the back. So anyway, shout out to this man.
He's coaching you.
He's coaching you.
Yeah, he's coaching you right now.
Yo,
step into the mic.
Nah, he was fading in and out.
I was fading in and out. I could look it out. I've been going too long. I've been fucked around.
He knows about this, though. He knows about this.
Oh, absolutely.
He knows about how to put a production together. Yeah.
But anyway. I didn't want no one to miss it.
Nah, so we did that. And then after that, I went to Los Angeles. And I was out there for almost a week. I did the improv out there. That was fun. This is my first time, my second time ever performing in Los Angeles. I did an open mic when I first started in Los Angeles.
You gotta start somewhere.
When I was still working.
You gotta start somewhere.
Woo, I took a slow one. I might have it on tape somewhere. I don't know, but I just remember it was so much effort involved. You know what I mean? Like, I drove all the way to Burbank. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was like a 20-minute drive. I had to figure out the parking situation, got there, got online. I might have been 17th on the list of open mic cats. It was diesel with open mic, because there's at least 40 motherfuckers in the audience. And I did my little 4 minutes. And it wasn't horrible, but it was that open mic energy.
It was Damian Lemon live and smoking?
Oh, it was worse. It was worse, because niggas ain't know who the fuck I was. So they was definitely giving that walkout energy, that live and smoking walkout energy. But anyway, the first time I got to really play, I did the improv on Melrose, which was super dope. That was a good show. Shout out to everybody that does the big show out there. And then I did Meltdown as well the next night, and that's like a phenomenal show. That's like the equivalent of Whiplash on this side.
So right,
it's like
right.
Real fun and shit. Dana Gould was on there, Alice Wetterlin, and a few other motherfuckers. On the big show, Gerard Carmichael was on there. Chris D'Elia dropped in. Like, it was dope. It was some fly shit, fun shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Good time. I think I might have retired my Donald Sterling material out in Los Angeles.
Kind of like, yeah, looked
that
up.
Where it should be. Yeah. And that was that, man. I'm back. You know what I'm saying? Back in New York.
Welcome back
amongst the brethren
back.
And shit. What's cracking with y'all?
I thought Just you said Donald Sterling. I thought Chris Rock had the best joke.
What was that?
He said Donald Sterling was upset because he saw his lady with a black basketball
player. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said, I wouldn't want to be with my lady with a black basketball player either.
I think we said that, though.
Did we?
We did say that.
I think Chris Rock is taken. Okay.
Nah, it's
the consensus.
No, I was joking. It's in the ether. It's in the ether.
That's just real talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to make a platform.
Maybe that's why I laugh so hard, because maybe part of my subconscious was like, yo, we actually came up with that.
No.
In the sense that, like, but it's like when you see Chris do it, it kind of affirms your perspective on comedy. I had the same thought.
It affirms and it upsets you sometimes, because it's like, you know, as a comedian, as a comedian has the platform that he has, when you see him do a bit that you got to, and he did it, it's not for you to do no more.
You can't do it.
Yeah,
it's
especially
over.
On the BET, on television, on the BET Awards, it's a wrap.
Yeah, because now you look.
Yeah, you could. Now you look like you stole.
Yeah, you stole from Chris, right?
Even if you got the date and time, or see, I did this.
Who are you to think like Chris Rock? Who are you?
Exactly, man.
Who are you?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about that. Did we watch that?
I didn't see it, but I saw his monologue though. I saw Chris Rock's monologue.
I watched it online. I enjoyed it.
I
saw it online as well.
We getting older.
No, I was shooting. I had a shoot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, work. You
know, I had an important shoot as well.
There you go. I watched it. I was excited about it. What you think?
I think it was great. As it was a good look for BET. I think everything looked nice. I think Chris Rock did a great job with bringing a bigger perspective.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just a lot of, you know, just punchlines. It was comedy, you know what I mean, on a bigger level. And you know, I was proud of the BETs.
He said the funny thing. He's like, the BET Awards is the only award show you got to worry about your safety.
Mm-hmm. So they be careful now. I know you're going to the BET Awards.
Yeah, it was sad to hear, but I was laughing because some people got stabbed prior to the.
Yeah, out prior or after something.
They had a pre-party.
Somebody got back.
Somebody got stabbed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of Chris Rock, man. See, and I think we've been missing it for a minute in the fact that Chris Rock does commentary. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like. A lot of this shit's been unchained for a minute. I hate to say unchained, but maybe I'm saying it for the right reason. Like, a lot of this shit has gone on too far.
You could use that phrase as a black man. Yeah. You could use that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mom,
you
stand appreciate in good place.
I feel like a white man should
my
be able to give me the...
you know, brother.
But, yeah, exactly.
It ain't nothing but a boat stop.
I think, yeah, if anybody's going to say... But anyway, so my thing is this. I think that we could see some commentary, and I think that it was a good move for BET to fact that they could even be the butt of the joke, because that's real talk. Like, listen, you go to the BET Awards, be careful out there; you might get stabbed. Like, or not, you know,
but it's different coming from Chris Rock,
because that's what you expect.
Right?
He's built that, but that's the beauty of Chris Rock. Because when Chris Rock, if we look at it, and I was just telling my niece this the other day, because my niece she's 14, she's a huge Kevin Hart fan, right? Mm-hmm. And Kevin Hart is hilarious, and I think everything is. Taste is always subjective, and it's generational and things like that. Like, Kevin Hart is the biggest comic of her era thus far, I would say.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was like, yo, you should check out Bring the Pain. You know what I mean? Because I feel like there's before Bring the Pain and then there's after Bring the Pain as far as comedy is concerned, especially as far as black comedy is concerned, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think that when Bring the Pain came out, this was a time where now it was about, yo, we could be funny, but we could laugh at ourselves and really scrutinize our own people. You know what I'm saying? When it was the whole, you know, niggas versus black people, you know, Tupac and Biggie wasn't assassinated. Them niggas were shot. Like, it hasn't been nobody doing that effectively in a minute. Right. And it was refreshing to see.
And I think one of the most crucial things that he said in that monologue was, you know, we're going to celebrate, you know, the people,
black achievement
with people who created it this year.
Because
with all of the other awards, it seemed like, you know, the black performers were pretty shut out.
Right.
I didn't even catch that line. That's deep.
Oh, it's real deep. You know what I'm saying?
That's a deep one. I didn't catch that line.
All of the, you know, Grammys, you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
All of the white performers in the black arts were winning all the awards.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that in itself helps BET in that it gives them back their authority.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Where they can assert their authority in this space and create the conversation around, you know, the arts.
That's a good empowering. But you know what's a good point? It's empowering. You know what's a good ass point, and I think Chris Rock is good for that, is the fact that you can only really do that when you align yourself with those people that you have helped build.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When we talk about black media, oftentimes black media is treated as just a stepping stone. It's just a platform to get to the mainstream media. You know what I mean? And then when you get that acceptance of the mainstream media, you don't come back to black media.
Until they slap you in the face.
Until you're on your way down and you got to reconnect and whatever.
Or they give you an award to Macklemore.
There you go.
I'm going to text, you know, he texted him afterwards.
But let me take a quick photo of this text and put it into the world. Anyway, but yo, but that was beauty that they could come back. And obviously they served each other a purpose because Chris Rock is suiting up to come back, you know, and take it over again or step up again.
Right.
And he got to reconnect with a lot of his fan base and a lot of people that might not even fucking know his shit.
Right.
Just to show that he is still a fucking beast.
He's a factor.
Right. And what? I'm still black.
Yeah, I'm just as black as all of y'all.
I'm giving out Roscoe's out this bitch.
That was a question that I had for myself. If I done got fresh to come to this awards and I'm on camera and somebody give me a piping hot plate of
rock chicken with the black man's kryptonite
with piping hot.
Wait a minute.
In front of the cameras.
No. But he did it as a play on Ellen, didn't he?
Yeah. But still, it's still on Ellen.
He said we don't eat pizza.
He did it off of what Ellen did.
Which I didn't even think about that part. That's a good point.
No, he did it off of what Ellen did, but still. It's Roscoe's, baby.
Would you have taken a bite of that chicken?
I think, and when they do the commercial breaks.
Nah, they say the commercial break. I'm talking about right
recording.
Now.
That red light is on.
We record on air,
that's
brother.
Right to the hard drive.
I would have salivated into the commercial.
Okay. I think I'd have had to do the same thing. It would have been a moment. There was one cat that cracked his and was like, yeah, son. I seen it.
But listen, man. I'm fasting. It's Ramadan right now.
Right. Just started, right?
We apologize. Started. We shouldn't be talking about chicken around.
He brought it up.
First day of Ramadan, I'm shooting. And they have, the buffet.
Those craft services, Joe.
Of just straight fried chicken. Smelling up the joint. And I'm like, wow, that's how y'all gonna do me on the first day of Ramadan.
This is a Popeyes commercial. What you shoot?
Nah, it wasn't a Popeyes commercial. It was I'm doing this documentary on this family out in Sag Harbor. That's and this was their 50th wedding anniversary. This particular event, and it was a moment.
Crazy.
You had to pull yourself together, like, yeah, bro.
tender moments.
Step away from the chicken, man.
Oh yeah, you had to check yourself. I thought you were touched by the moment. You was touched by the chicken.
But we talking about the chicken at this point.
Okay.
Very stereotypical in this place.
So you're saying that if we look at the unedited raw footage, there'd be a lot of shots of that chicken in some.
No, it won't be. No, it won't be
longing shots.
Yeah, it's real.
It won't be any shots of the chicken. You would have to read my mind to see the chicken.
Okay,
but if you
read
my mind.
Subtleties.
The context here was crispy fried chicken.
I mean, it's golden brown. fresh out the grease.
They just wanted to let you know. Just they all the way in Sag Harbor, they can still fry a bird, though.
Exactly.
Yo, this is a good ass. There's a good book, though, called Sag Harbor by Colson Whitehead. You would fucking dig it. If you just did that, it's a fucking dope book. Uh-huh. It's called Sag Harbor by Colson Whitehead. It's super dope. Rick Ross took issue to Chris Rock.
Did he?
In the moment, too. And I think
Why would he take issue?
And I think that made Chris Rock go harder, which Rick, I love.
He had that joke about his titties.
Yeah, I understand that. But
he had
a few.
But he's two in the monologue. He said he's the first rapper to die of breast cancer.
Oh,
and he said not only does Rick Ross have, he doesn't have beats, he got diabetes.
Right. But listen, man, Rick Ross, you cannot take issue with Chris Rock, and you did not take issue with Trick Trick in Detroit.
He took a street.
No, not street.
I'm not even up on it. I saw the World Star videos. I haven't watched either one.
I spoke to a Detroit.
So what happened?
I haven't seen him take issue with Chris Rock, but I think, that's way more lighthearted than what's happening over there.
I spoke to a Detroit resident, and he told me that Trick said, listen, you got to put somebody from Detroit on. What's going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put somebody on.
Who told
Trick? Trick said, hey, you got to put somebody from Detroit on. or if not, give money to, because, you know, Trick has a charity, he has in Detroit. He said, I'll put somebody on.
That's what they call it nowadays.
Yeah, or you give money to my cause.
Yeah, my the cause.
And, my you know,
cause. Because I said so.
Because it's really taxed.
That's what the Detroit, my friend from Detroit,
is that
what he
said. Isley Brothers on your coffee cup, brother?
This is, actually, wait a minute, is it?
Where is that from?
Flaunt Your Individuality, and it's...
Ride Week. Shout out to
two black guys and a white dude.
It looked like a Ron. It looked like an Isley act. It don't look like the Isley Brothers from over there. It looked like Ron sitting in the middle. Hook that. Put that there. We might have to take a picture of that.
I take a picture for the Instagram.
From over here, that cat looked like Ron Isley. Yeah. When this podcast finally comes,
we have to start
R. Kelly Ron Isley.
We have to start a Instagram
and then put it up the way it was, because I'm gonna shoot it from how I saw it. We'll get to that in a little bit. We're gonna handle that.
But that's what I heard.
Now what happened? So yeah, he's taxing him a little bit. But
well,
what
basically,
happened?
Allegedly, as we always start these conversations off, Ross had a show in Detroit.
Yeah.
He showed up to the show. He had 150 cats blocking the way to get into the show, saying that he couldn't come in because he didn't make that call before he got there.
Damn.
So. He did not perform. I guess he broke out, you know what I'm saying? And then what was reported was that Rick Ross is not going to perform tonight because he felt, you know, fear
safety.
Of his life.
Safety, yeah.
His safety. Because, you know, the promoter has one side, you know, Trick has one side, and Ross is just straight not even, you know, addressing it at all. Like, you know, whatever, we showed up, you know, I thought they was protesting, and we left.
So who said he was fearful for his life? Which person?
That was the news report. I think, you know, that was the news report.
That was the diplomatic thing.
The
like,
diplomatic thing. Okay. Yeah.
So wait. So the Trick plea came before the
yes.
concert,
right?
So Rick Ross.
I don't know if it was a plea.
Well, or now
the,
I'm saying
the blockade.
I'm saying it. Yeah,
the
I'm
offer,
saying
the offer.
The offer.
The
offer.
The blockade.
The blockade. The suggestion. Let's say the suggestion.
The suggestion, yeah.
Right. Let's say the suggestion. Okay, so the Rick Ross suggestion came from Trick prior to, like, at least a week before.
We don't know that. We don't know
But
that.
We know it came prior to.
We know
to.
That no call. I don't even know if it was a plea. Their thing is that nobody called us.
No, my point is when he got to the blockade, the blockade was like, dog, you haven't reached out to whoever you're supposed to reach out to. So right. It must have been established prior that you needed to reach out to somebody.
Maybe it's just on site.
Oh, so it might have just been an on site situation.
Maybe it's just like, listen, man, you on notice that, you know, you need to check in. But I don't know these things because I'm not on the ground in Detroit or nowhere else. For that matter.
That's that other shit. I'm just happy they, you know. Hey.
And the person I spoke to actually knows Trick, which is interesting.
Trick?
Yeah, he knows him.
Oh, I think everybody from Detroit say they know Trick. Probably. He just seems like the guy you supposed to say you know.
You better call.
You better know.
You better check in.
You better say, hey, I'm in your town. I just wanted to say hello if you want a Coney Island dog.
You better
something.
Check in.
So Rick Ross took issue with Chris Rock. Is that the... That's
yeah, because in the moment, which was funny, because in the moment, you know, because he said those things in the monologue, so Rick Ross tweets, man, Chris Rock is washed. Ha ha. And then, you know, went all late. I think Chris Rock saw that shit because for the duration of the show, he was hitting motherfuckers with even more jabs. Like, he was handing out that Roscoe's. He was like, yo, we got a salad for Rick Ross. And right. then such and such. And
now,
this, that.
I think Rick Ross could really flip that into a Wingstop promo.
Or something.
You know what I mean? You should have been giving
it's a
out
shout
Wingstop.
Out. It's a shout
if,
out.
If Chris Rock was still relevant, he would be giving out Wingstop.
Right.
Or just if you didn't take yourself so seriously, because come on, Pop.
Hey, man, you got a potatoes brand.
But through everything, the fact that you done been through this far.
Right.
As how far you've been exposed as you were CEO. Maybe you were a drug dealer, but you wasn't that, you didn't know Noriega.
It reeks of a little bit of disappointment, though, because I think on his end, he wants to be respected and, you know, respected on all levels.
Yeah,
and then you got this Detroit thing just happening, and now you got Chris Rock poking jabs. It's like his respect, he's probably disappointed. Like, what's going on here? I'm being poked in every area.
But my thing is, the fact that this has surprised me, the fact that he has, and I ain't got no problems with Rick Ross because I think he got good music and shit like that. But the fact that his career has been able to flourish beyond being exposed as a fraud years ago.
With the correctional officer,
I thought that, you know, I think that shit, at this point.
This the deal, man. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, he been through 50, all of the beefs. And one thing that just made him flow through the whole thing is that he made good music.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what Trick say, Chris Rock say, you keep it on the record. There's no need to be disappointed or upset at Chris Rock or none of these cats, because you're going to keep doing your thing and buying mansions and buying Wingstops and shit.
But that's part of the – see, the thing is –
but I think he might be mad because he lost weight. He on a diet.
He should have said that. He said that funny. And, I mean, just the fact that he said Chris Rock is washed, that's his opinion, one. And it doesn't really mean that he can't take a joke. Maybe he can't take a joke, but he just feels Chris Rock is washed. But my thing is, if you get to a
could be. Maybe he's not a Chris Rock fan.
Maybe he's not. Maybe he's a Kevin Hart fan.
Yeah.
Because if you get to the point, but that my thing is, when you get to the point of a Rick Ross, we got to include him. He's in the level of celebrity of Drake, of Kanye, of a Drake. Maybe not as tall in the stratosphere, but he's up there in the collective consciousness.
He's right. In the conversation.
He's a name now, and right. He's a name for very comical reasons. He always got his shirt off. Your tits is always exposed. Come on, Rick Ross. Be honest. You look like Ebony A's.
But he lost weight, man.
I understand he lost weight, but the thing is, after a certain point, when you get to a certain point, you get that established, you can't take yourself that seriously.
Was that a porno reference that you just dropped? Ebony A's?
Go online. That's Google just, images. Yeah. It's worth it, y'all.
Wait, he just slid that in there. Just a little porno reference.
But my thing is this, like, when you get to a certain level as a celeb, you got to be able to take them jabs, because now you are a collective punt. Like, you're a point of reference that everybody in the room knows,
right?
That's the win there. So take the fucking jab. You still on top,
right?
Because I mean, he made fun of Jay.
Yeah,
you know, he made fun of a lot of people up there. He made fun of Oprah.
His niggas that's dying to be made fun of by Chris Rock.
Bird.
If Chris Rock would have said Ali Muhammad on that stage,
Bird, I would have been on Twitter. Yo!
You know what I mean?
Ali looking D-Lemon at that chicken.
Comedy, sir, shout me out. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Fuck that. But
say what you want, but spell my name right.
Speaking of which, speaking of that, shakedown culture, though. I don't know if it was a shakedown. It was an intervention. I wish I could show you this fuck. I wish I could show you this Worldstar video. Hopefully y'all see it. Y'all probably have it and shit, but there's a Worldstar video that came out like today. You know, the Worldstar, you got to really be up on it.
Right. You
four pages behind, that's a whole other conversation. I can't boycott Worldstar, Popeyes, fucking ramen, and Swedish Fish. Listen, I haven't been in Popeyes in months, but yo, there's a thing on Worldstar where the fucking kid, I guess this kid was trying to be a thug or whatever. He ain't really about that life. I guess he might have ran through some neighborhood shooting up in the air, right? So anyway, the Worldstar video begins with our character being approached by another motherfucking gangster who's really about that life. But this has been established in the beginning of the video, because he's got our protagonist being telling him, yo, listen, you run your pockets. He was like, nah. He said, yo, run your pockets. Kid was like, what, you robbing me? He was like, nah, I ain't robbing you. I told you to run your pockets. If I was robbing you, it would be a little bit more aggressive. I'm telling you to run your pockets. As he's about to run his pockets, he was like, you know what? If any of them bullets would have hit any of my people, you know I'd have came here and killed you. You understand that, right? He said, now I'm asking you just to run your pockets and give me what you got in your pockets. So the kid quickly pulls out his wallet and just opens his wallet like, okay. He says, give me all of that. So he takes all of that. He said, yo, give me the weed too. He was like, I ain't got no weed. He said, like, let me get in them pockets. So he goes in his pockets, right? He goes in his pockets. And the kid is trying to blind. He said, yo, oh, touch my hand, B. And the kid lets him run his pockets. And then as he's running his pockets, he's telling him, listen, B, You're not a real gangster. This ain't your life. You can't just be coming through shooting up in the air. He's the only reason I'm not robbing you right now is because you my mans. You know what I'm saying? So this is like a real nigga intervention. Because you my mans, I'm not robbing you right now. I'm just going to take what's on your person, and I'm about to leave. And as he's leaving, he's like, nigga, you let me just run your pockets, and you ain't even fight me, motherfucker? See, you was bitch ass. You should have at least swung on me. And as he's walking away, because he kind of almost still wanted to swing on him, he was like, don't look at me like that either. The nigga just jumped in his car and just not looked at him. And the kid who robbed him just walked the fuck off. It was the funniest, realest shit ever, because on a certain note, yeah, you got robbed on camera. You just you're a clown because you're supposedly a fake exit, but he might have saved your life.
Exactly.
He might have saved your fucking life.
He saved your whole life. Now you could go back to school and be a student.
Yeah, square. Scared straight. You know,
sign up for college.
But you got to think about the spontaneity of that thing. Like,
That was premeditated.
That's what I'm saying.
He had a videographer.
That's just let you know that is, you know, you can't be out here wilding out because you make it hot for everybody else.
Yeah. This dude's a Jedi. that's Jedi stuff right there.
It was a teachable moment. You know what I'm saying?
It's that joint with 50 saying that song. What's the song you got? The funeral.
The new shit.
Don't ask me about new 50. That nigga 50 is that dude in the record. And he's like, you play ball in college. You need to stay playing ball in college because, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Before these real gangsters come in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know the lyric, but it's to that same effect.
Play your role.
And 50 is playing that guy's role in that record very hard.
So they just had a camera running and they caught the moment.
It's world star, man. It's always a camera running. Let me tell you, niggas has always got a camera running because some kid came up to me in the park the other day. And the camera was already on. He was like, "You the dude from Geico?"
Did hood anxiety kick in?
I don't like the camera.
Did hood anxiety kick in?
For a hot second. I sized them up immediately.
You didn't want to be the Charlamagne.
I sized them up immediately. Yeah. That wasn't that type. It was more, these are young kids. These are like 11
years old. But even still, though.
No. The anxieties didn't go to the, can I get a drop? It was more about, damn, yo, how am I looking? Am I looking crazy? I need to shape up. Right. You know what I mean? One of those, this nigga fell off type hood anxiety.
Right.
So
taking the bus.
Because this man walked up with his guy on FaceTime. He was like, "I told him it was you." And then you hear this man on FaceTime. Like, oh, shit, it really is. It was just.
Oh, shit. You all over the globe.
I'm in the conversation. I'm in the conversation.
They had a conference call.
Oh, we got some funny. I'll tell you some funnier shit off mic. Some funnier.
We had a conference call.
Yeah, B. Anyway, so what's cracking with you, man? I know you can't speak on certain things, but what's popping with you?
I'm doing all right, man. Working on a couple of things. I'm working, so dealing with who I am in society.
I hear that.
I'm always wrestling with that.
That was a deep one. It's
interesting being a person of color. I'm always thinking about how I'm being perceived and who's watching and how am I putting stuff out and. Yeah, man.
Man, you can't worry about that shit, man.
Everybody says that, man, but...
You should talk about it on stage, then. You should talk about it on stage.
It occurred to me, man, that
or
you gotta...
put it in something.
It occurred to me, you gotta talk to these people sometimes.
Yeah, well, we talk
all the time. This is the conversation.
I think Damien's point is you get on stage sometimes and you just do your act. You know what I mean? Yeah. But there's a point in your act where you gotta talk to these people. Like, I'm talking to you. I'm trying to tell you something. Like, right now, I do my act. I got my jokes and I'm ready. But there's a point where you're like, I'm going to say some stuff. I'm going to talk to you for a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think people appreciate that a little more.
Well, speak on it.
So.
Talk to the people. I guess
I'm still weighing on it, Ali. I'm still thinking about it. I'm still processing. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, shit. Yeah, right. I guess we're going to talk about the World Cup then. What's up with the World Cup?
The World Cup, man. It's funny how Americans are just, hey, for lack of a better word, we aren't the smartest people, man, because we'll be sitting in the damn bar watching the game, and it's a point system.
Okay.
U.S. lost last week and people going around, "I can't believe we lost, it's over." And you're like, dude, this is math. This is chess, not checkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get upset.
Listen, man, we are not a soccer culture, man.
It's just sad, dude.
We just jumping in because it's the thing to do right now. You know what I mean?
I'm not jumping in.
I saw my first 30 minutes of soccer Sunday.
And that was it?
Hold up, where was it though? Explain.
I was at a cookout at family friends. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? We all had all the families together and the game was on. And the game was on and that was what everybody was watching. So I watched 30 minutes of soccer. And I watched the game where they had the little shoot off at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like the whole system, I don't understand what's going on.
A lot of that shit.
The ref just throw extra time on whenever you fucking feel like it. Yeah. It's a tie, so shit. We gonna let you get free kicks at
get
the
it
end.
Off.
So it's just like shit. Why play? Just fucking wait to the end and get free kicks.
Just run up and down.
Hilarious.
That's like all that fucking running and shit. And you gonna just let them win on free kicks? And
you know
shit?
What's so funny? It's probably somebody that's really a big soccer fan and so upset at the fuck he's just saying.
Yeah,
so but see that? That's the real deal about it because I feel the same fucking way.
If
I don't
we
know,
leave
I
this podcast,
know.
You're gonna see a bunch of Africans and Mexicans waiting for you outside.
I
leave.
I grew up.
Mira, why you talking like that about this?
I grew up in Miami, Florida. My family's not from some other country. This is like we black, regular black.
Right.
So
domestic.
So soccer.
Budweiser black.
Didn't enter the consciousness.
Locally sourced.
Locally sourced black.
Until probably, what's the not this World Cup.
About 2000 when it started. About
the one before that.
Yeah, about 2000.
The World Cup before last.
I love that. I love
about 2000 was when I started that. Really hear about it.
And when it entered the consciousness of, you know, you couldn't be cosmopolitan if you didn't know the World Cup.
I remember
was going
AI
on.
Was still in the league when I started hearing a little bit of World Cup talk. This is the thing. I can't not get caught up in the drama of pretty much any sports. Right. I'm not a sports fan in really in the least. I got faves because, you know, over where you're from and shit like that. But I'm not one of these kids that's going to be into the statistics and all of that shit. And I'm not going to be the guy that's really rooting for the team when that shit don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, and week 15, nah. But if we get into the playoffs and the finals, and I can feel that there's some stakes involved, I'm all in. I'm just being honest with you. I'm being transparent with you. I'm being it on that level. Now, the World Cup, I haven't really ventured into getting informed, kind of like how Ali is, where I can just take a cursory glance at what's going on. And obviously, the shit that's going on with these numbers and this time, that there's a reason behind it. It's got to be a reason behind all of this shit, but I don't really feel like having that conversation.
It just feels to me so manufactured.
But wait, no, because I think it is manufactured, but it's all manufactured. But what gets me is when I'm going down the block, like I was on 14th Street one day, and I was coming down the block, and it was just like literally at least 30 people standing outside of a bar, looking into the bar to the screen, going crazy. But that frenzy is what gets me. Like, okay, this is obviously a lot. It's the World Cup, so it's a huge conversation. I'm just not privy to it, but I respect the passion.
Right,
and you might pull me in for a second.
I think it's dope. You know what I'm saying? That everybody's able to celebrate and do that and leave work, you know what I'm saying, for 4 hours, go watch
that's
the
what
game
happens,
at the bar.
Yeah, that's what they leave work.
I think it's dope. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not privy to it. You know what I mean? I'm not in it. So
I'm not even going
to
lie.
I'm on the outside looking in, and, you know, shit.
You ain't got to worry about me buying a jersey.
But
I wouldn't even know whose jersey to buy.
But I'll be one of them dudes that, you know, take the trip to the next World Cup, you know, to hang out.
Brazil was the one to go to, Bob.
Not really.
I mean, if you're not married or in some type of relationship. I'm not going to no sexually benign World Cup. I'm not trying to go to the World Cup in fucking Cape Cod.
I don't want to bring anything down, man, but Real Sports with Brian Gumbel did an excellent excerpt on the World Cup in Brazil. A lot of people do not want the World Cup in Brazil. They did not want it.
Oh, yo, I met
it
some Brazilians.
Huge. They did not want
I
it.
I met some Brazilians in San Francisco, and they was like, we left Brazil because we didn't want that whole thing going
totally against it. They don't even watch it.
Brazilians are quite, if I'm assuming based on these two Brazilian chicks I met. So part of my...
Brazilians are quite...
part of my racism.
I like how your voice changed. They're quite...
But they're quite bougie about that shit. They was like, man, that's that Brazil. I'm not into that. Brazil. I had to leave Brazil. I wanted Brazil to be for Brazil.
That sound about like the residents of Miami Beach on Memorial
Day. Of course. A residence of anywhere that are getting shine based on something outside of their control.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
it's crazy, man. People are going nuts. It just feels to me like they run this way, then they run that way, and they run back that way, and it's pandemonium, you know, for 90 minutes. What did you do? I ran in two different directions.
I think the issue, you know what I'm saying, with the Brazil thing is that the locals that are living there and they're not getting a lot of work.
Precisely.
And they're spending billions of dollars to build these stadiums to bring the World Cup there. And the people on the lower end are feeling like they're not going to see any of the residual.
And then the tragedy is all these stadiums they built, they're labeled white elephants.
What they call?
They call them white elephants. It happened in Greece. It happens after every time they have an Olympic in different countries. The stadiums become white elephants. They're not used.
No
one
them no more.
Right.
I wonder if that happened in with the Olympics with South Korea or what was this?
The last Olympics.
Rush, you mean the Winter Olympics?
Not the Winter Olympics. What was it? I guess it was the Winter. Look at how fucking out of touch I am.
The last one.
Atlanta, what was that? That was in 96. I know the Atlanta shit because Atlanta benefited from that shit. Like, my campus got air conditioning based on that.
What does that have to do with the Olympics?
That's not a right element.
That has nothing to do with the Olympics. It has AC in the dorm rooms.
They came to Atlanta and built Centennial Park, and they had to build up these areas for the athletes. The athletes were staying in my dorms before I got there. Only reason that my dorms got air conditioning is because American Olympians and other Olympians from other countries were staying in the dorms.
Now listen,
had the Olympics not come, niggas would have still been sweating it out.
That's like a right in the contract. No,
But then you ask that same question to the people who lived in Techwood.
Oh, they might have got displaced.
It's a lot of people got displaced.
Thank you, Ali, for pointing that out. You know, I appreciate that.
A lot of people got displaced. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying they can't.
We got air conditioning.
I'm not saying. Shout out to anybody that held up.
What about Techwood?
Nah.
I didn't know.
I'm just saying.
I just got this. And I ain't know nobody from Techwood.
I'm just saying.
What about Techwood?
There's always displacement.
He pointed at you, too. What about Techwood?
That's our first merch. That's going to be our first merch item.
What about Techwood?
What about Techwood?
T-shirt. if we make that shit and we really sold too, that means we are a success. I hope somebody from Atlanta buy that shit.
We started Kickstarter.
No doubt.
What about Techwood?
I'm buying one. What about Techwood, baby?
That's funny as shit.
It happens all
the
time.
That's the name of this podcast.
What about Techwood?
The name of this episode.
And it happens. Even in Super Bowl cities, you know what I'm saying? They come in, they bring a lot of money, yes, and they come in and they a lot of people, not necessarily physically displaced, but they do come in and clean up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, the homeless and, you know, the people who are not that desirable.
Mm-hmm.
They make way for it to look real good during the Super Bowl and during these times. So it happened in Miami, you know, it happened, you know, the 2 years that they had it in Miami while I was still there. They come in and they sweep the streets,
mm-hmm.
and make way for this weekend, and then it goes away. Then they don't come. Yeah, I mean, the NFL does. They build, you know, what they call the NFL Yet Centers.
What does that mean?
They're not there yet.
It's like youth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Youth.
But just something. Yeah. So they build these centers on parks in the city that they do the Super Bowl in. And they built one in Grand Cherry Park in Miami and Liberty City. And then I don't know where they did the second one. But, you know, they do some things. But on the grand scheme of things, I think the problem with, you know, that Brazil is having is that you have a lot of poverty. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people being displaced to make way for all of these people to come in and have fun. And these communities aren't seeing the residual effect.
Now, it's fucked up. If I looked at Atlanta like that, though, it feels as if Atlanta, there's a lot of people that was displaced on that shit from the original community before the Olympics. It's definitely motherfuckers that took L's. Now, however, do you think that, because Atlanta tourism and Atlanta people moving to Atlanta took a spike. Now, it also kind of coincided with just Atlanta becoming Black Hollywood.
Yeah, but Atlanta was already Hotlanta 96.
But do you...
Yeah, Atlanta already had L.A. and Babyface. They already had Deion Sanders.
TLC.
Deion Sanders and I think Deion probably did more for Black migration in Atlanta than the Olympics did.
Mm. Wow. That's a big one.
Deion Sanders.
Who knew?
Deion Sanders. Who knew? And Dominique Wilkins.
See, that's the 80s.
Like, who knew?
Because they were the life of the scene.
I guess so. That's a good
point. They were the life of the scene. And that was what was driving. So Hotlanta was live. But then when you brought the celebrity to it, like Deion and Dominique brought the celebrity to it. Then L.A. Babyface came and brought more celebrity to it. Then Jermaine Dupri started popping. Yeah. So you had a culture of, that's how the Black Hollywood thing got going.
That's decent.
You know what I'm saying?
I haven't even thought about Deion.
Excellent premise for a book.
Took it way back. All of these, we've been saying this shit, all of these things.
The Black Hollywood.
What about Techwood, man?
Oh yeah, what about Tech? What about
Tech
Wood?
Just forgot about Tech Wood already 5 minutes ago.
What about Tech Wood? Like you sitting in your AC? Cool.
You right there listening to this on your nice earbuds.
But what? Yeah, man. So, you know, it was going down.
The conversation was that they want to bring the Olympics to New York.
Okay.
You think about what neighbors did with this place. Just hypothetically, probably East New York, Stapleton Projects.
I mean, it'd be so spread out. New York is a different kind of place with geography because the geography is so small.
New York baffles me how they could do so much with such small
space.
Right. Yeah, they'll do something though, and they will displace a few people.
That's what I'm saying. They showed you that with the Barclays.
Yeah. Yo, that displacement is swift and quiet. It be some noise. It'll be some noise, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like there's an attack at one point where there's the noise of the displaced protesters saying, "Yo, don't forget about us. Listen, we being displaced.
We don't like this."
And then at the same time, there's that noise. It's like, yeah.
Jay-Z gonna be at the Barclays.
Eight shows, but how? Yo,
kicking it off.
Nigga, the Nets are leaving Jersey to come to Brooklyn. Look how dope this stadium is.
No,
man. Yo, you forget all about that shit. You could work at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Taking the Nets to BK.
Of course, you got to take two trains.
I want education. Hova's gonna be here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hilarious. Because that's what they sell. They gotta sell. Yeah, no offense to Hova. You gotta be used to keep. I was thinking about this.
But you said it yourself. I said it last week.
Capitalist.
You know what I'm saying? If you can't be used, then you're useless.
Yeah.
You know, Jay-Z has put himself in a position.
Fab said that initially, you know
what I'm
then I started saying.
Oh, yeah, great. I'm glad you got the original source.
Yeah, fabulous. I said that when I
you know how it go when you say something. Yeah, you got it.
I typically try to get everybody their joint. But yeah, if you can't be used, you're useless.
Shout out to Fab.
Shout
Brooklyn,
out to
Brooklyn.
Shout out to Young Fab.
Well, I believe it's half Dominican. Shout out to Fab.
I think he is.
Brief Week in the building.
I wouldn't be surprised. Brief Week Project. All right, okay. There you go.
But no, it's just, damn, it's hard though, man, because you can't be used, you're useless. That's the phrase?
Yeah, you can't be used, you're useless. It's very, I mean, it's distilled. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he going to find the soft center of that. Chew on it, man. Think about that. I mean, it's
now,
the truth.
Is that you speaking from the corporate side?
Just listen, man. Just chew on that, man.
You got to contribute.
Think about it from all angles.
You just got to contribute.
If you're not contributing and nobody can use your contributions, then you're useless.
Mm. You know, but then that makes you, when you think about that, that makes you really have to evaluate what you do
bring
contribute.
To the table. What you bring to the table.
Even if you don't bring nothing but some hugs and some good spirit. Yo, that's something.
That's something.
No, you can't be the nigga with no money and you're negative.
And you bring nothing to the table. Come on. But your negative energy.
Come on. He ain't
gonna bring nothing.
He ain't good. And your breath.
You got to bring value is what you're saying. What's the value?
Bring value.
Every day.
And that's what happened to Tech Wood.
It couldn't be used.
It couldn't be used in the scenario.
Couldn't be used for that. That's a bigger conversation.
In the scenario.
We don't need your good cheer here, Pop. We trying to make this Coca-Cola money.
Now, in that scenario, that's a mixed hug. That's a mixed conversation, Wiley. You know what I mean?
But that's what it is, man.
Because you got to talk about why we useless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you starting with useless first.
Yeah,
we starting with what's the value? What's the value proposition?
Wait, let's be. I don't want to assume. I don't want to assume, but the history of capitalism has taught me to at least somewhat assume somebody, definitely not everybody, but somebody from that Tech Wood community.
Got paid.
Got a check.
Yeah. Oh,
somebody.
And that is part of the playbook. That's the playbook we need to find.
We need to find that one.
That's the playbook. How much are you worth?
Who got that check?
What's the price?
Who got the Olympic check?
Shit turned it to check wood.
Let's see who got the Olympic check.
How long were you thinking about
it
before you said it?
Anytime I think about a check, I always try to incorporate it into my vocabulary.
Check wood.
But
who got the Olympic checks? Who got the Barclays checks?
Somebody spending that shit now.
The useful ones.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of checks being cut, and it's useful is relative.
No doubt.
I'll send you
and
guys.
And subjective at the same time.
There's an amazing image that an artist did in Brazil, in protest of the games. I'll send you guys the photo. Mm-hmm.
Put it up on the site if we ever do a site to support this podcast.
Yeah, we're doing a site. Listen, man. What's this guy talking about?
I know. Make yourself useful.
You can't come to the table with the negativity.
Yeah, where's the value? Come on, Lemon.
Add value to this conversation.
Man, I'm just saying, I'm being hopeful.
I'm taking notes here. Ozzy Brothers, and I'm putting the photo of the Brazilian games.
Bat.
That's kind of cool. We got like an online little thing going. We could put images up and hashtag.
This guy, where you been?
Everybody acting like they so far in the future.
Yeah, I can't hear it. I can't hear
you. Hear your guy from Silicon Valley over here? What are you talking about?
What the fuck you?
Whatever
been?
Happened to tongue in cheek?
This is why niggas don't ask other niggas for help.
Because of the
advice.
Shame, right? The shame.
Nigga be like, come on.
But you supposed to, just like Ross, you supposed to be able to take that. We can't say Ross supposed to take the Chris Rock Josie. We can't take that.
It's true.
Come on, man.
Pick one thing.
If I'm asking for help, I'm going to get shamed for it. A part of me is like, on some situations.
That's why
like,
a lot of people stay ignorant.
That's true.
That's real talk.
That's true.
You learn that. Yeah, you learn that with a big brother. My big brother was the one that would really sun me.
Let me ask you a question though. There were certain situations where you held back. There were others. There were other ones you're like, you know what? I got to eat this shame.
I got it.
If I want this knowledge,
because I know for sure.
If I want to eat,
and this is pre Google. See, now you could just go to Google and you don't have to risk the shame. Even Google be like, did you mean? Like, you late motherfucker? Are you talking about this?
You know, Big Brother wrote that code.
Best believe though, if you're not gonna ask the question, you're gonna damn sure sit back and observe and try to pay attention.
Sometimes, depending if you really want to learn, some people will be like, fuck it, I'm just not going to know.
Well.
And some people,
everybody has pride.
That shit right there will keep you useless.
I got a question that I always wanted to ask, and I don't know if anybody in here could answer this question. I almost asked it on Twitter, but Twitter make you feel stupid. I didn't know how to.
And niggas retweeted.
I didn't know how to type it out to where it made sense. All right, if you parking on the block, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says 1 hour parking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you have to pay for the hour or pay, you know, whatever, how long you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. My question is, can you be in that spot longer than an hour? Or after that hour is up, do you have to move your car? Or is the hour based on, as long as you keep paying hour on the hour, you can stay there parked all day?
I think the second?
That's what I'm hoping.
What was that? He said the second, meaning that
if you pay there hour on the hour,
right,
you could stay in that 1 hour parking spot all day.
I didn't know we had a legal department.
That's what feed the meter is all about.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but there used to be meters where it wasn't like 2 hour parking, 1 hour parking. It was just like feed the meter. You know what I'm saying? And even when it was there, like 20-minute parking in front of a bank, you're like, damn, is this some traffic shit? If they see my car here 40 minutes later, they like, yo, this nigga's been here.
Now, the question I have for you, Mr. Lemon,
that's one of those questions that I wanted to ask the people. But he don't know for sure.
You should tweet the Blasio.
First of all, all of that shit that I'm trying to ask in that tweet is way beyond 140 characters, plus de Blasio. So I'm going to have to just write that nigga a letter that he'll never read. But he's old school enough to actually write his weird ass.
Ask one of them ticket writing, you know what I'm saying, soldiers.
Yo, I caught a ticket today.
This is my point.
Hold on a second. I was a total asshole. I'm sorry. I know you don't listen to my podcast, because I was pissed. I played myself.
You might be on World Star tomorrow.
Yo, I thought about that. World Star would put me. World Star, maybe, but it ain't nobody got punched in the face.
But you spazzed.
If I was a bigger star, I could be on TMZ because somebody spazzing. But a nigga spazzing over a ticket, that ain't World Star worthy. Okay. That's a different type of media. But you know, it's funny that you thought about, like, Nicki Minaj had that whole thing. It was like, you know, I thought I was about to die. And I didn't want to call the cops because I didn't want that shit on TMZ. Did you hear that?
She said that.
We're going to talk about that. That reminds me of that old Chappelle bit.
The 911 call.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Which was hilarious. He went out like that.
That's hood anxiety.
That's hood anxiety.
I don't want to go out looking crazy. I just die by myself. I've been there where it's like, yo, I could die right now.
Well, you said that joke about dying butt naked in the shower.
It's vanity all the way to the end.
That was his nightmare. He didn't want to die butt naked in the shower.
Not with a flaccid penis.
And get pulled.
Nah, I ain't want
what was the line?
Better off dead. They wanted the motherfucking, the fucking, they would pull me out. You know how niggas be standing in front of the building. The sheet would come up and you just see my dead flaccid penis. And niggas would be like, this nigga better off dead. And it's just, it's vanity. It's hood anxiety and it's vanity.
My question for you, D, is when you were parking that car, you were trying to interpret this 1 hour rule.
Yeah.
Because I know Lemon. D detests, I mean, we all do, but D detests the parking ticket.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's money that he had that is now gone.
Exactly.
And that he had control over, so it pisses foolish. Him off. I've been in several scenarios where DLM just flips out. So, in that situation.
So what happened?
Did you not park the car? Did you bounce? You like, I'm not going to park here. I'm going to take my chances and not park.
With the hour
situation. Yeah, with the hour situation.
No. I've been doing it. I do it because, I do it. But then that's what made me really, I'm assuming. I'm still based off assumption.
Okay.
I'm still based off assumption. My man just gave
legal.
Me some white man encouragement.
Yeah, legal.
He was like, no.
Yeah, but they got different laws,
up.
Man.
That's true.
They got different laws.
But that's why I wanted to ask the people. This all stemmed from the conversation of there are questions that people are still somewhat ashamed to ask because you should have known better. Now, obviously, when you.
I think people don't want to know the answer to that shit. I'm here. I'm going to feed this meter and shit. I wish a motherfucker would.
Well, that's true. There's times when people don't want to hear they don't want to hear the rules because they ain't got no time for the rules. So as long as listen, but I ain't got no time for all that shit.
My meter is paid. What the fuck is you talking about?
Nigga, I put $4 in this motherfucker.
Shit.
That's hilarious.
They'll go to court with that shit. My meter was motherfucking paid.
I took a picture. Take a picture of that shit.
Got a picture for paying.
Yo, shit. My sister is the king of beating I shouldn't even put all the way on blast, but yo, she's beating traffic tickets like a boss. So I mean,
she should do that for work.
She could do at least a seminar.
Public advocate,
at the Learning Annex.
How to beat a ticket?
But what happened when you spazzed on the cop?
I spazzed. I was playing myself. It's the longest. I don't even know if half this shit should be on the podcast, but yeah. Anyway. All right. So let me tell you this. Yeah, I can't.
He's not gonna snitch on himself.
I can't snitch on myself. But it was.
Were you in the wrong?
Absolutely, I was in the wrong. I was in the wrong. So that's why I was an asshole because I was in the wrong and I spazzed on him. I was like, "Yo, man,
what did you say though?
Wish I had a
violin. What?
I called him a piece of shit.
Damn,
which was super fucked up.
Damn,
it's like yo,
character
what?
Assassination.
Yo, it was fucking horrible.
Right,
and I feel sorry about it.
Now you know that same mother. Well, that was on your block.
Nah.
Oh, okay. Can't spaz on your local.
I wouldn't shit where I ate. No, not your
local parking.
But he's in my cipher. Which was even wrong. It was even worse. He's in my to the point where I might even walk up on him and be like, "Yo, my bad. I was in the wrong." Just for resolution. And the funny thing is, if the motherfucker swung on me, I wouldn't even be
would have been a rap.
I wouldn't be mad. That if I got my ass whipped, then I'd be upset again.
I bet you'll have a good little lawsuit going.
Yeah, I'm suing the shit out of them niggas, and I'm getting that money that I paid for this ticket. And the ticket money too. Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, I mean, where were you when you said a piece of shit? Were you in the car? Where were you in that moment?
That's what
where
were you? Was
where
I some
were
sucker
you?
Shit?
Where were you?
That's the real deal.
Where were you? Where were you? It's a very bold. It's a very bold statement. I'm trying to figure out where you were.
That's the realest. Realest moment, son. I wasn't all the way in the car, but I was definitely about to get up in that bitch. I was close enough to that dead fucking gas pedal that I could pull the fuck off like a sucker. I was definitely close enough to be like,
piece of shit. You hear the shit going off in the echo? You a piece of shit.
He was like, what did he say?
What did he say?
Wait. I think he might have shit on me.
Oh, hell no.
The guy two lights down, I think he might have shit on me.
Oh, hell no.
Nah, I was close enough to wear that shit because he responds like, whatever. But yeah, I wasn't.
Oh, man.
That's a good question. Oh, that's a good question. I told you I was going to do some shit called, for the sake of a better term, because it probably wasn't that, the working title is Real Nigga Court. Well, you got to ask a question there, because that's a great follow-up question. Where were you when you asked this man, when you called this grown-ass man piece of shit? Now, where were you? Shit. Were you inside your car?
Or were you in his face?
Were you in his face?
That's a like funny a true premise, G. dude.
Run your pockets.
That's gotta, a, where were you?
You got to run your pockets. Not only am I giving you a ticket, I need you to run
that's
your
so
pockets.
Funny, dog.
What?
Just that line. Where were
where
you?
Where were you?
And then you cut to a little like dramatization of the scene.
Because he going to have a whole nother take on that shit. Anyway, man, that was hilarious.
Here's what really happened.
This motherfucker
was in the car, window rolled up.
Blew the horn so I knew he was talking to me.
No, but I love that line. What did he say? What did he just call me?
Did he disrespect me?
Did he just shit on me?
But anyway, man, that was fun.
Oh, man.
Shit, man. Muhammad, what's popping, man? Talk to the people.
Oh, man. Hey, people. What's going on? It is summer. The kids at the house. You know what I'm saying? So that's...
Ali, real quick, back to the Austin. With your children, do you encourage that? Any question is not off limits? You could ask daddy anything? What or do you kind of encourage...
Question? I don't know. I mean, we don't have a rule, but, you know, some shit I just won't answer.
Because you bring up a good point. I remember being in high school, man, and I wouldn't understand a piece of material in the lesson, and I wouldn't ask because I didn't want to look stupid.
Mm. Yeah.
That's definitely a hood anxiety situation.
Yeah.
You need that knowledge, and you won't ask out of fear.
And not even just the hood. I think it's not just limited to the hood. I think it's a youth thing, too. When you're a kid,
You don't want to be embarrassed.
You don't want to be embarrassed.
That's a bad habit to ask. That's a bad habit to develop.
But you know... I don't answer some questions because my wife answers everything.
Oh, I got even another question. Well, we're going to get to that, too, because I want you to figure that point. But I will finish that point. But when you're done with that, let me ask you,
Okay. Have
you ever had your kid ask you a question, honestly, that was rather stupid, and you wanted to laugh, but that's your child, and you love your child, that you got to be the father and be like, well, that's a good question. You
know what I mean? You don't even say whether that's a good question. It's just like, come on, man.
So you do shame when you say, come on, shorty.
I'm like, come on, man.
Are we related?
You need to know this, man. Nah, but we going to go through it, though. I'm not going to shame him and send him away. I'm gonna shame him, and we gonna go through
better.
It. It's something that I need to do that I ain't doing on my job.
Okay.
That you don't know that. Then.
So you try to encourage common sense. Like, come on, man, use your common sense.
I mean, common sense is that's a staple, and that's only my dad. That's all he preached.
Use your common sense, but
he'll shame you in it. Use your common sense.
Common sense ain't all common
sense.
Common.
Common sense would have told you that.
Like, yeah.
Goddamn, man, I didn't know. Okay, but. My wife, like I tell you, she answers everything, and it's like my 3-year-old. She was pregnant with my daughter, and he asked, like, his question was,
"Your 3-year-old was pregnant?" I'm sorry.
No, my wife was pregnant.
Oh, with 3-year-old
with my daughter, and my 3-year-old was looking at her, staring at her, and his question was, "Is that baby gonna come out your throat?"
That's hilarious.
So she, you know, tried to explain it. He wasn't getting it. So she pulled up a diagram on the Google, and he was like, you know, that's not doing it for me. So this month, she pulls up a live childbirth.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
On YouTube?
On YouTube.
And was it flagged?
No, I guess it's science. It's fucking.
This invades my privacy.
Medical, I see the medical whatever the fuck. And she shows the live birth to the 3-year-old, and he was just like, "Okay, I get that.
I'm happy he got it.
He got it on an intellectual level too, because he's 3.
But that's how he
did it. I see what's going on. On YouTube.
But then on the flip side, that's a good side of it. On the flip side of it, you know what I'm saying? You know, down south, you know what I'm saying? In Atlanta, they had this thing. What's up, Shorty Pimp? And she said that one time, and.
My wife
said it just in some Atlanta trip out, bug out.
And one of her peers.
Right. Uh-huh. And the same 3-year-old, I don't know how, he probably was 3 or 4 at the time. What's a pimp?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, her being her, she answered it truthfully, honestly, and then, you know what I'm saying, and
that's
the
whores.
And
that's beautiful,
real talk.
And so it comes about back, and you at your family friend's house, and you're sitting around, and your kid's talking about, yeah, so a pimp named Sitback had a community of whores.
And everybody's like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
this kid knows too
and
much.
Then, wow. then it's a backfire. Then it's like, wait a minute, you should have waited.
You know too much.
You should have waited on
this
that.
He's very advanced. How you break a bitch. It's what you do. You get into a psyche.
I've been pimping since 4 years old.
If you can't be used, you're useless.
Exactly. All of that pimp talk.
Now get on your square, bitch.
Hilarious. Hilarious. My pimp name is adorable because I've been pimping since I was 4 years old. Yeah. Bitches just always say I was adorable till I slapped them.
So that's when answering all of the questions backfires on you.
Oh man!
But your lady definitely takes it right to the level.
Right? Oh, she does. She,
and he gets it.
She thinks that you should know.
My sister's like that too.
And I'm like, you need to, you know, you got to temper it sometimes. And I told her the other night, I was like, and if you're going to, you know, explain all of the stuff, you have to preface it with the old school shit of what I tell you in this house, don't go beyond these doors. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up, what happens in this house, stay in this house. And you know what I'm saying? You don't go outside talking what we talk about in this house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We don't have that preference laid down. Yeah. So sometimes you tell your 5-year-old something and they go to school and they spread it around. Mm-hmm. And then now you get the calls from the other families like, hey, shit.
Your son is pimping my daughter.
I know. That's when you got to call the HR department.
You know what I mean? So, you know, sometimes you have to agree not to just answer every fucking thing.
That's a good one.
But that pride is a big one, though, man.
Pride is a big one. Man's greatest downfall.
Because rather than ask for the knowledge, you just hold on to your pride. That's a big one.
Yeah. Well, we're proud of that one. Yeah. We're proud of that episode, huh? Shit.
I had a good time.
I think we're going to get up out of here. Muhammad, where you at? What's good? What's cracking?
This week, you know, I'm doing a bunch of drop-offs at summer camps. And
it is.
Are they staying over?
No. But we got a lot of, you know, cool projects in the works and, you know, going to be glad to deliver those things and see them out in the world. So, you know, keep up with me on the, you know, at Mr. Muhammad, Twitter, Instagram, and, you know, you'll see some of those things starting to be released coming up this week.
All right. Vlad, what's popping?
I'm working on some stuff, man. I'll probably make an announcement maybe next week or so. I got some cooking. LaughingVlad.com. I'm working. I'm in Lower East Side. I'm in Brooklyn on Thursday. I'm at Levity Live the week after. LaughingVlad.com. All my dates are there. You can come check me out. Happy July the 4th, y'all, by the way.
4th of July.
Enjoy it.
Pop off.
There you go.
4th. I ain't doing shit for the 4th. Yeah,
chilling,
I don't
got no crabs.
I don't got no. Ooh, you might have just gave me a. I might have to call my spot. Yeah.
What spot?
I tell you offline. No. I tell all y'all. Yeah. Come fuck around, become a sponsor. There's this place called the crabplace.com. Mm-hmm. I order blue crabs from there. I've been thinking about ordering them live.
Where they at?
They're in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Because what we did, me and my lady, we went out there towards the end of last summer. We did the all-you-can-eat crab fest that they do out there. Shit was bananas. It's a good look. It's a good little, if you got the car, it's a good drive. Nice little road trip. Mm-hmm. Get a hotel room. You know what I mean? It ain't going to be too crazy. The price of the thing, I don't even think it's too, it's not crazy at all. It's all you could eat crab. Like, you're not going to eat as much as you think you could eat.
When does it take place?
I don't know. You would have to go to crabplace.com to find all of that out. But I was just, you just threw that my way because I've ordered from them before and I've had them steam them and send them, and then you re-steam them, and it could be a little dry. So I'm thinking about getting the live joint, steaming myself, but they say the mortality rate is like 15%. So, you know, we'll see what's popping on that. Anyway.
That's what's beyond, up. That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. Crabs. Thank you. But beyond crabs and all of that, I'm in these streets, man. I got a bunch of shows locally. You know what I mean?
I'm back in town.
Yeah, I'm back in town for a little bit.
New York.
And, We got some good shit coming up, man. We got some good shit coming up. I'm excited, man. Feels good. Shout out to everybody that watched season 4 of Guy Code. We finaled last week. It was a good season. Went well. It was funny as shit. I think it was our best one yet. So support. Thanks for support on that. And we will see you next week. Peace.